from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
It was Labor Day weekend, I was 17. I bought a Coke and some gasoline.
Caitlin Clark makes good on the free throws. A new season high, 31 points. And a new career high for Caitlin Clark, the third 30-point game of the season. And in enemy territory gets this kind of salute as she exits the game.
Deloach on the ground. Holiday with the scoop. That'll do it. It was that six-run, sixth inning that broke it open for the Orioles. And the Sox lose this opener of the three-game series, a final 13-3.
The payoff pitch, swing and a miss, strike three. As Santana gets Swanson with the slider. And the Pirates end the Cubs' winning streak at six. They rally from behind to beat the Cubs in the opener of this three-game set, 5-3.
We got captains, really good group of guys. From Jalen Johnson to DJ, Caleb Williams, KB, the two backers and the two tight ends. So it's I know it's a larger group than we're used to, but we have a bigger group of leadership now.
Caleb is the captain. Have you ever been part of a team that had a rookie captain before, and what?
Yeah, I haven't had that before. That's a really good sign that he's got leadership throughout the entire team.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Just what happens when you host the most popular morning show in Chicago.
Let's go!
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Wow, it's already the third day of September, Mr. David. How you holding up?
Morning, Mully. Happy Tuesday. You know it's going to be a good week when you come in and Tim McGraw greets you on the open. Well done, Brandon Fryer. Yeah, Labor Day weekend. We weren't 17, but that was quite a weekend in sports, and good to be back. You know why? It's game week for the Bears.
Well, that's what really matters. We finally have something we can all agree on, which is football season. That began in the college game over the weekend. I mean, it began last week, but it began in earnest with everybody jumping in over the weekend. A lot of fun, interesting games to discuss. But the NFL, baby, here's where it all begins, starting on Thursday.
Thursday night, and then Friday in Brazil.
Are they going to get that off?
Yes, they're going to get that off. But last Sunday, whatever you did on Sunday, was the final Sunday that you had without football until after the Super Bowl, which is sometime in February. And that is something that's fun to look forward to, especially in Chicago, where we await the beginning of a season, unlike any that we've probably experience in terms of anticipation in a very long time, if ever. You've got the most talked about quarterback they've ever had, as the promos describe. And there's a feeling of excitement that I think is appropriate given the circumstances. Bears feel like they're good again. And you can hear it in their voices, and you can see it. You can see it throughout preseason, and we're days away from the Titans coming to town. It's going to be fun.
The first text we have here is someone saying that never mind Craig Counsell, it's a wait till next year. I mean, come on. You lost a game. They just came off of a six-game road, six consecutive wins and an 8-1 road trip, and you lose a game. I mean, I'm not saying That's good, but it's hardly the end of the season.
Yeah, I didn't look at the text line yet. I think last night was deflating without anybody telling me how to feel.
Okay.
It was definitely deflating because the Cubs went into that game after sweeping the Nationals, as we said they needed to do. So, coming off a sweep of the Pirates, they had won six in a row.
Which we said they needed to do.
Yes. And they had a 3-0 lead, and Jameson Taillon was outstanding. And Craig Counsell went to Jorge Lopez, as he should have done, just before the bottom fell out. They said on the television broadcast, I'm sure our guys Zach and Coom were on it in the radio broadcast, his ERA was below one as a Cub. It was the right move. He had a bad night.
Don't tell Dustin.
And then, to add injury to insult, the night got worse after the game.
Yeah.
Justin Steele scratched from the start. We got to see Kyle Hendricks on the mound again tonight against Paul Skenes. The only good news is the last time this matchup happened, the Cubs scored 14 runs.
The Cubs have been scoring tons of runs. And even when things went awry, you thought, well, they got 10 more in them.
I still waited for that last night because you thought, well, they fall behind 4-3.
Yep.
Lopez gives up two homers. And then they're going to come back, find a way, because that's what they have been doing lately.
That's what they've been doing, yeah.
But it was somewhat deflating. I got to say, it's not over, and certainly that'd be ridiculous to suggest that, because they're 3.5 out of the final wild card spot. But the Mets won, the Braves were off, and the Braves, I think, welcomed the Colorado Rockies to town. So they're not going to lose one of those games.
No. That's a good thing.
This is tough.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
Tough.
It's tough because you put yourself in a position where you really can't afford to lose a game, especially to a team like the Pirates, especially when it's the opening of a series that includes Skenes pitching in it. You know, momentum is the next day's starting pitcher, and that guy's got some momentum.
And the Pirates have it, and the Cubs have none.
All right. Right. But, I mean, it's not the end of the world. Not yet.
Well, when you lose a game in September, when you lose a game after six in a row and you have a 3-0 lead, I would understand where you're coming from if they had a quiet night at the plate and there wasn't that sense of anticipation in the eighth inning. But when you're leading 3-0 in the eighth inning at home on a night like last night, Labor Day weekend, for goodness sakes, you want to finish the job.
What happened to Craig Timber?
Well, patience.
Craig Timber's a thing.
Yeah.
It's still a thing.
It's just calm at day. It'll come. I think they've done a good enough job that, okay, that's a misstep. Fair enough. And I get it. You're getting to a point where you can't afford any, but not the end of the world yet. Sky still above us, not yet falling.
They need some help. They're going to need some help. The Mets are playing pretty well, and the Braves, as I said, have the Rockies, and that's a winnable series for
them.
That's
not good.
But they're banged up, and they lost 2 out of 3 to the Phillies, so maybe they're reeling somewhat. But, Craig Timber needs to kick in. And it's more than just a label. I mean, he's got the numbers to back it up.
Right.
His winning percentage is .580 in the month, whereas that's much higher than his overall record as a manager. It's a thing.
Yeah, I hope they've been building toward this.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah, who knows? But it is so much fun to get the football season going. It is just the sense of excitement. The Bears are favored by 4.5 points. It's swollen to 4.5 points.
Well, that kind of reflects the enthusiasm, doesn't it? That reflects the fact that when the Bears are good, people notice and want to be part of that. They want to get in on that, and they want to bet their good, hard-earned money on that.
And the total is just 43.5.
Reflection of their defense, and maybe the fact that there's still a little skepticism about how many points they're going to score.
Well, you're gonna win by 4.5 points, and the total is 43.5. That is pretty interesting.
It's a slog.
Yes,
it's a slog. I don't know if those two numbers or two bets are kind of compatible.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, if you believe in the Bears. You believe in their ability. If you believe in the Bears, it's a big reason why is because you think that their offense is going to be different. And if their offense is going to be different, it's going to be what, 25, 27 points a game. If they score that many points per game, then all of this hype is going to be justified.
very, very pumped up about all things football. Very much looking forward to the start of the season. It is going to be fun to see the first game of the year, Kansas City and the Lamar Jacksons going at it, to step the Mahomes against the Jacksons going at it. Should be a fun one to see that. I am really very eager to see what happens in Brazil and what happens with Green Bay and how good Philadelphia is. That is a good warm-up to what will be a special morning here in Chicago, afternoon, I guess.
The marquee matchups Thursday and Friday night, there's no question about it. I think everybody wants to look at football again. They want the big moments and the huge names and the great matchups. And that's what you get on Thursday and Friday night. The thing about it is, we're all going to want to, because it is week one, it's the return of the NFL. Next Monday morning, it won't take that long in Philadelphia and Baltimore and Green Bay and Philly, but we're going to overreact.
Oh, no question.
To whatever happens.
No doubt about it.
And we're going to see things that aren't there. Remember, the Lions beat the Chiefs on opening night last year, right?
Sure.
And everybody was like, it's over. The repeating is difficult. It's too hard. Look at
It's an overreaction Monday.
Yeah, that's the fun of it, though.
Every week.
You kind of lean into that stuff. It's
fun.
No
question about it. And it's fun because there are expectations for the first time in a long time. And maybe they're modest expectations nonetheless here in Chicago. And I think that the NFL delivers. It's just a fun product. It should be a lot of fun to see some of these results and overreact to them next Monday.
I'm a little surprised. Again, we said it when the schedules came out, because of all of the hype accompanying this Bears season, because of who Caleb Williams is already as a NFL celebrity. He's the star of Hard Knocks.
Yep.
He's the guy that everybody is excited about. I'm a little surprised the Bears are opening at noon on the lakefront at home against the Titans. I mean, it's a great, it's an NFL game, but it's a very perfunctory NFL Sunday in Chicago. It's opening a season, but it doesn't feel like this blockbuster debut. It doesn't feel like Sunday night prime time. It's not one of those games of Monday night football. It's like it's a soft launch.
Yeah, there's a reason for that too. That's a reminder about not getting out over your skis.
It's too late. Yeah.
It's already too late for that. I think everyone's out over their skis. 4.5 points is what the Bears are favored by. But I'm also looking forward to seeing, I believe it is the Jets on Monday. I say that only because if I don't see it, and I have the misfortune, David, I don't know if you have it, but I know Dustin has it. And Brandon is waving as well. We are no longer getting the Disney Channel. We are no longer getting ESPN. We are no longer getting ABC. Are you kidding me? I couldn't watch whatever the hell was on last night on ABC.
FSUBC to wrap up week one. Couldn't see that.
Yeah, I managed to see. Wait, what are you talking about?
College football.
Oh, I thought you said the LSU game.
No, FSU.
FSU.
No, I
saw that was Sunday.
Florida State, Boston College. Yeah, that was Monday. Monday night football. Right. Yeah, it was on ESPN.
Yeah, U.S. Right. Open. Yeah.
We wouldn't
couldn't
know.
Watch that.
Oh, we wouldn't know.
You couldn't watch the U.S. Open?
The U.S. men are doing well. Is tennis like golf for you, David?
I was like,
are you wondering if tennis is a sport?
I wasn't worried about you until I learned that Dustin missed the U.S. Open.
I'm just saying,
what else was I supposed to watch last night?
Here's why I brought it up. Because if on Monday I can't watch Monday night football, that's me saying goodbye to my cable system. I have resisted, but I've only resisted out of laziness and general malaise.
It'll get done.
That would make me sit up and take notice.
It'll get done. You're not alone. You're not alone.
Yeah, there's a lot of us.
A lot of people affected
Ridiculous.
By that.
Ridiculous.
They want the U.S. Open. I mean NFL.
You know, and
they want their...
Dustin, explain this to me. I thought we had AT&T. I have no idea what we have.
But it's U-verse. It's DirecTV, technically.
Yeah.
It's a DirecTV, but it's AT&T, and it's U-verse.
Okay.
And it's a mess. I found out on Monday not being able to watch SportsCenter.
Well, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, not good.
I found out that it was on, what did you say it is? It's XT, whatever it was.
U-verse.
Whatever the...
DirecTV.
I found out it's not on DirecTV, and I went, oh, really? Oh, that stinks for people. And then it's me! Wait a minute! How am I impacted? I didn't even know we had anything to do with that.
Sorry, man. You guys need a moment?
No, you know what? Like, you had been laughing about it.
I'm not laughing about it, but
you had the NFL Network.
You want me to go over my grievances of the weekend? Okay.
Dude, you have no idea what it's like living your life without having your sports channel.
You're going to get it. You're going to get it. It's going to get done. Deadline spur action. There's a deadline.
It's very difficult to leave town to come home and the whole world's upside down.
Well, just to let you know, Florida State stinks.
I did watch that.
Boston College looks very good. If you missed that,
I didn't see that. That was last night. I'm sorry.
So you missed that.
I thought you're saying LSU.
I'm talking about last night.
Okay, I'm sorry. FSU. Who did they lose to first? Miami.
They lost in Ireland.
Yeah.
To Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech.
They're 0-2 in reeling.
Are they really 0-2?
Florida lost to Miami. There's a lot of angst. There's a lot of angst for football teams that expect
Florida
to be good by now.
Real bad.
Miami looked really good. LSU, couldn't happen to a nicer guy. They lost.
And we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again talking about the same thing.
That's so funny.
Talking a Cajun accent.
That's so funny.
That was so phony.
I think it's a great win for the Big Ten, USC beating LSU.
You know what? It made me proud of the Big Ten, but it also made me worry.
You should be proud.
They're better than I thought they were, apparently.
USC?
Yes.
Of course they are.
The SEC had four primetime games.
And they lost, right?
1-3 in four primetime games.
Big Ten greater than SEC right now. Big weekend. The only team to lose in the Big Ten, I believe, is Minnesota. Minnesota lost. I think that's the only loss by a Big Ten
team.
And
that was a Friday night.
That was Friday night.
Against UNC, who lost their quarterback for the year in that game.
Wow.
A lot of good things happening in the Big Ten. Not the least of which happened in Evanston on the lakefront. That is a cool stadium. That place is cool. Listen, that looks like a great home.
It's a great place.
Temporary or not.
Go wander around up there.
You should wander.
You can see downtown from there. It's beautiful.
They got the most out of that project. They put it together in how long did that take? Can you put those people in charge of the Bears Stadium, please?
About 25 minutes, I think.
It was like 5 minutes.
They tore down
the stadium.
There's only
four rows of bleachers, though.
there's only 15,000 people allowed, right?
You can't have everything.
I'm just saying, how long does it take to erect four sets of bleachers?
I don't know. It looked pretty cool.
Four rows.
For a Big Ten setting, it looked pretty cool.
It looked cool. I'll agree.
It looked cool.
And Northwestern held on. Wasn't the most electrifying of games or efforts. David Braun that got the defensive victory that they needed. They couldn't lose to the defending MAC champions. I mean, they didn't want to do that.
Who was that? Miami of Ohio?
Miami of Ohio.
Yeah.
Chuck Martin, remember the guy who went railing about the technology?
Of course.
Well, his offense looked like it was stuck in the past. They didn't score enough points. Big weekend for college football. The NFL's on the way.
How about the Irish?
How about the Irish? That was a statement victory.
I thought we'd hear from Dustin on that.
That was a great win for Notre Dame. And Marcus Freeman.
That was a fun game.
Marcus Freeman.
Yes.
Who would you rather have? Marcus Freeman greater than sign Brian Kelly?
Oh, right now.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
His players really seem to love him.
Well,
Brian
Kelly? He's one of them practically.
Exactly.
Marcus Freeman, that clip of him getting his team ready to go and the way that he reacts. Now, he may lose his head in the midst of the game and might always not be the smoothest game day operation because of some decisions seem maybe a little off. But I love the way he prepares and I love the way he presents and I love the way that he represents Notre Dame. That was a fun victory in a game to watch.
You love the way he loses three games a year?
Wait and see.
Well, I tell you, we joked about FSU, right? They're 0-2 and their head coach probably in a lot of trouble right now.
Sure.
Okay. If somehow Notre Dame loses three games from
this year,
he will be gone.
Okay.
He will get fired.
Well, he'll get
unless there's a catastrophic injury that would be a part of why he went
What did you think of the quarterback? Not as accurate as I imagined.
No, just okay, but a good leader, a good kid. I mean, the defense
ran the ball. I thought
defense is elite.
Got a real big fourth down.
The biggest thing was the offensive line.
Offensive line, young, good.
Played good.
Riley Leonard's going to have better days, but he did what he needed to do.
They did not run the ball for a long period of time, and I was like, ruh-roh. If you've got a young offensive line and they can't run the ball, that's a problem. And then they got it together.
I was more disappointed in Riley Leonard as a passer, but they have some things to work on. But, Dustin, you're exactly right. Because of the way the schedule unfolds for Notre Dame, it's a very – it's a schedule. There are no such things as an easy schedule. This one's amenable to a playoff run, though. They should be in the college football playoff. They should take advantage of the gimmies on the schedule. And they play Northern Illinois this week. It's a great opportunity for a lot of Huskies to go into Notre Dame Stadium and just experience that.
Didn't the Huskies have a big win? Did they have a big win?
Yeah, they put up like 60, I think.
Yeah.
Western Illinois.
That's it.
They're coming in hot. They're coming in hot. But Notre Dame probably had one of the biggest victories among top 10 teams of the weekend.
Yeah, their biggest game now is going to be Saturday, November 30th. So think about how long away that is. Saturday, November 30th at USC.
Don't do that, though. That will be a big game. But if Notre Dame does that, then they're going to have one of those clunkers that he has experienced too often in his first couple seasons.
Like Georgia Tech, maybe, October the 19th.
That is a team that's going to challenge them. That's a kind of game that you can't look past, and you don't want to look past because everyone's saying you got an easy schedule. They've made that mistake before. Then all of a sudden, who did he lose to the first couple seasons? They've had those games, those clunkers. You got to avoid those this
Louisville,
year.
Louisville, they lost to a Louisville team. Yeah. They shouldn't have lost. And they have Louisville again this year at home.
To show real growth, you won't lose those kind of games.
Well, you know, here's hoping, because that was a great performance. And I would say composure would be the word of the day for that game to be able to hold up as they did in that environment and win that game late as they did. Very impressive.
It's his team now. He's got 16 players of the top 22 on the depth chart who are either transfer guys that he brought to Notre Dame or players he recruited. So finally, the accent of Brian Kelly is away and missing from the Irish. Thank goodness.
Well, it's fun. I mean, honestly, it's good to see them do well to open the season, and there were a lot of good results. And as you say, the Big Ten looking pretty good. That's good stuff. We are looking forward to a Big Ten season.
Yeah, there really isn't a team that looked...
Oregon didn't look
weaker than expected.
Oregon didn't.
Yeah, maybe.
Didn't knock the doors down.
Still think they're the best team in the Big Ten.
Yes, someone said that, and I was like, oh, wow. And then I saw that, and I thought, oh, it's still Ohio State. No need to panic.
Oh, yeah, they had a really tough test from Akron.
Okay.
The Zips.
You let me know.
The Zips are pretty flat.
You let me know what the important games are, buddy. Let me
know
what the
big
ones are. No,
that wasn't one of them.
But I'll tell you what, had they lost it, it would have been.
Then Lou Holtz would have been looking for Ryan Day.
Oh, man, it's great. It's fun stuff. Football getting going. You can feel a little chill in the air. Am I wrong? Was there a little chill in the
air this
morning?
What's the deal with the weather? Yeah, I mean, it's like
chilly.
55 degrees.
Yeah, it was.
I got short sleeves on. What am I doing?
I don't know, man. It's getting fall.
It's crazy. It's going to be 87 again on Thursday, so
is
don't
it?
Worry about it.
Okay.
Yeah, well, wear the,
and then not
wear the
70,
short sleeves on
and Thursday. Then not 70 for the Bears game. So
68 degrees Sunday on the lakefront.
Perfect,
a little chill.
Football weather. That's
a little breeze.
Good weather.
Will Mayo. I called it Will Mayo because Will Levis, I'm thinking of Mayo and his cologne. And the guy puts mayo in his coffee. I tell you, I don't know. Hell's coming for breakfast, though.
Yeah, I like when you say mayo, I'm in Ireland. I don't know what you're on about.
Will Levis has the mayo cologne.
I know.
He's the quarterback.
He's in the commercial doing his Jake Arrieta impersonation.
Maggie. Smell like greatness. Will Levis, number 8, parfum. The mayonnaise.
Wow.
Have you seen the commercial? He's like doing it.
I have seen
it. Yoga positions.
It's very strange.
It's very weird.
Let's just say there are going to be two quarterbacks start the game on Sunday. One has handled his imaging very well and intelligently and crafted a very nice image for himself. And the other is Will Levis.
It'll be fun. it's going to be good. Everything's good. We're all into the football season. It's the beginning of a glorious week of a championship season. That's just what Dick Tron called the regular season. He said he didn't like the regular part of it. So championship season, let's go. Wouldn't that sound like fun? Well, are you on board? You're on board for a championship?
I don't think I'm going to put championship in front of a season yet. I don't think I'm that carried away yet. But it is fun to have football here. It is fun to see the Cubs relevant in September. And the White Sox, well, we haven't mentioned them, but they made their own bit of history over the weekend. But we can kind of ignore that if you wish.
Please, let's never talk of it again. Unless you want to talk about it as a reflection of the owner. Then I'm here all day for you. 312-644-6767. We'll do that later. We've got the pick six next. We can tear apart all the stories of the day. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter. And Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Pick Six, sponsored by Affinity Whole Health. Do what I did. Visit FeelGreatIllinois.com to learn more about their testosterone therapy or their other weight loss options. What does Caleb Williams, as a rookie captain, tell you about the player and the Bears' plan of naming him their starter, basically before even drafting him? Who gets most credit, Williams or the team overlords?
Well, the overlords always get their credit. I mean, they did lay it out, and they made it so that Caleb Williams was the starter and was the guy from even before they drafted him. But it was the right thing to do, and I think it's reflected in the fact that Caleb Williams gets the credit because he's come in, and he's been everything and more, and he works really hard, and he's been a really good teammate. And I think that, you know, the reflection that people are voting for him would suggest that. Now, did they have to expand the captaincy to a point where they can make sure they got him in? I don't think that's the case. I'm just making a joke. But it's great to see him as a team captain because he is. The quarterback automatically is a team captain. I think it reflects really well on him and the hard work he's put in. I also think it reflects well on the team they put together. The team that understands that he is, that you sink or swim based on how well the quarterback plays, and that he has to be that player in order for the team to win. And rather than be jealous of a guy, you embrace it and you follow his lead a little bit, right? That's a reflection on a good football team. But that's kind of what you expected. I'm not surprised in any way that he is a team captain, and I think it reflects well on both the decision to take him and the way they cleared the decks for him.
Well, the bigger news would have been is if we woke up this morning and they had seven captains and Caleb Williams was not one of them. That would have been unbelievable news. This is not shocking any way, shape, or form. Almost always the quarterback is the captain of the ball club. But it does, listen, the guy, everything you've read, everything you've heard, this sounds like the guy that is one of the first ones in and the last ones out, which they always like to talk about. This guy eats, sleeps, breathes football. So those are all good things. I wonder, now that they're in the third year, though, of Matt Eberflus, if we're also, on top of having eight captains, which is probably too many, are they also going to have the revolving, this guy is the special captain of the week because of some tie-in, you know, he's a former Titan. I don't think we have to worry about that with the former Titan right guard. He won't be a captain this week. But, you know, will that guy be a captain based on some tie to the team that they've done in years past?
Yeah, he answered that question by saying he had thought about it, but he hadn't really decided whether he was going to. But it wasn't something he sounded like he was going to do.
Still TBD?
Yeah, probably still TBD, or maybe that was a kind way of saying, no, not this year. This is significant because if it were so obvious, I don't think – I think it would have happened before because the Bears have started rookie quarterbacks, not the beginning of the season, but this is the first one ever. This is the first one in their history. So that is significant. What it does to me is it reflects well in the organization because they decided from the beginning never to treat him like a rookie.
Yeah.
They were not going to worry about proceeding too fast. They named him the starter. They didn't play games. They grasped the obvious and leaned into it. This is an exceptional young man. This is a natural leader. He has people skills galore. So this is all reflected in the vote, which I don't think was rigged. The vote, which I think reflected the way the team feels about Caleb Williams. They understand that this is a quarterback that doesn't fear pressure. Really doesn't react negatively to it yet. He's yet to experience adversity. He'll encounter that. But what we have seen is that he seems unfazed by being the franchise quarterback in a passionate football city, and none of this stuff is going to overwhelm him. So the Bears, to their credit, never really had to give him any kind of orientation process. They never did any of the silly rookie shenanigans. They said, Caleb Williams, come here, save us. You are our starter, and now you are our captain.
I think, though, it's also interesting the way you put that. You don't think that they fixed it. Because there are occasions where teams will stuff the ballot box to make sure that the right guy is a captain. That's happened previously. I don't see it here. I think what we're saying is that the guy's a natural leader.
If you trade for quarterback, it's a very difficult chemistry mix. You can't have him not be the captain.
Right.
But you could go forward if your rookie quarterback is not the captain of your football team. People might have shrugged, or I don't think it would have been as big of a story. Well, you would have wondered. I don't think it would have been, Dustin. I think that you would have said, well, he's a rookie. They're trying to proceed cautiously. I think this says they're not worried about any of that stuff. They're moving on with the way that he, you know, they believe in his ability to handle this stuff.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Voice of Brad Biggs, Biggs Time, 7 a.m. this morning. How big is the opener? Does it mean more to the Bears than it does to the Titans? I know it's very early in the week, and we can revisit this, but is this a must-win game for a franchise that enjoyed a wildly successful offseason?
I think this definitely means more to the Bears than it does the Titans. One team has been the national darlings of the offseason, and the other plays in Nashville. I don't think the Bears can afford to lose this game and keep this wild wave of enthusiasm going. It would definitely be deflating, and we would definitely overreact, and we would question the wisdom of calling this a playoff caliber roster and a playoff team and all the things that happened during an overreaction Monday. I do think it definitely means more to the Bears than the Titans, and that's why it feels like, to me, a game they have to win. A game they have to win to justify so much of the talk. We'll get to what Ryan Poles had to say about his role in all of this. We have heard Matt Eberflus talk about his role in all of this. The arrival of Caleb Williams means all that it does because of what's possible. But now you've got to deliver. That's the thing. You can't just talk the talk. You've got to back it up. And Sunday becomes an opportunity to do that for the first time, and then they have to do it again. So, yeah, it feels like it's very, very big. It's bigger to the Bears than it is the Texans, the Titans. And I think that you're going to see a team that responds to that urgency with an intensity that reflects that. If they don't, we'll be all over them on Monday morning.
Yeah, this is a must win. There is no doubt about that. And there's a great piece of audio that we'll get to eventually from Jalen Johnson talking about all the expectations and all the fanfare and all the hoopla and what that does inside of a locker room. It's huge for the Bears. They're all big. I mean, you play 17 of these things. They all matter. And that's why, you know, people say with baseball, it's just one game. It's just a four-game losing streak. Well, you can't have a two-game losing streak and a three-game losing streak in the NFL or your season is done. If the Bears hope to be in the conversation for a wild card berth in the postseason, this is a win they must get.
Oh, yeah, this is a must-win for the Bears, much more so than Tennessee. In fact, Tennessee is kind of a team with limited expectations. You know, are they capable of winning the game? I mean, it's the NFL, man. You know, you pretty much can expect everyone to be capable of doing anything on a given Sunday. It's difficult to win outright on the road in an away playoff game. Feels like a playoff for the Bears. I think the expectations are so much higher for the Bears, and this would be so much more damaging for the Bears. You know, the coach needs to win the game, frankly. He needs to prove that he can coach a team that's favored in a game to a win at home to open the season. And I think that he will. I'm not really doubting any of that, but I'm just saying there is a lot of expectation on the line and a lot of kind of hopes and dreams and promises and things that need to happen. I don't know, you know, I don't know that they need to cover per se. I mean, I think they'd be great if they did, but they need to win this game. If the Bears don't come out of this game with a win, it will be a blow to the season. It'll be a blow to the hopes and dreams and expectations. So they got to take care of business, as simple as that. They should be able to win the game, and they need to do so.
Oh, boy. Good question.
Coach Wanstead, he's here at 744, two big segments. Don't forget to watch that on Twitch. We'll know more after practice on Wednesday when the Bears will submit their first official injury report of the season. But right now, it looks like running back Roschon Johnson, defensive tackle Zach Pickens are unlikely to play Sunday after missing the first day of prep yesterday. But of the four players limited yesterday, can you please rate their indispensableness in order? Montez Sweat, Keenan Allen, Tevin Jenkins, or Ryan Bates?
I'll go with that order. I think that Montez Sweat is a very essential piece of this team. I think Keenan Allen has a chance. Now, you need one of Jenkins or Bates, but I would say you need Jenkins more than Bates. I would go in that order. I think maybe you could get by without Keenan Allen because you got Roma Dunze, because DJ Moore is so good, but I think Keenan Allen needs to get going here too. I think he needs to get started. I'll say that in terms of how indispensable these players are, Montez Sweat is the most indispensable, followed by Keenan Allen, and then one of the two, I would say Jenkins over Bates.
Well, Montez Sweat's an interesting name, and I'd run this back to our first question. I think it's interesting that Montez Sweat is not a captain on this team. And I think it's interesting that Montez Sweat has practiced about three times. Okay, and we've talked about it. No, nothing to worry about. No big deal. All he's got to do is get out there, put his hand in the dirt, and go get the quarterback. But kind of interesting that he's out Monday of game week. He's not mentioned as the captain of the team, even though arguably he's the best player on defense, needs to be the best player on defense.
And he's a highly self-motivated guy that seems like
we've read about that, yeah. And heard him say that he, you know, coming from the Commanders, what a disaster that was. And now he's got a full year, you know, off season under his belt as a Bear, what that's going to mean. But I find that interesting. I think the order is correct. I really do. But I'm still worried about the center position for the Bears. So I hope somehow Ryan Bates is in there. That the guy who they've got in there right now, he didn't do a whole lot for me. He kind of gets thrown around a little bit, in my opinion. But we'll see.
Yeah, if they don't have Roschon Johnson and Zach Pickens on Sunday, I don't know what they're missing, because I don't know that either player has distinguished himself to tell us what they've had. So those are guys that need to get healthy so they can make a contribution, so they can be missed if they're not there. As it is, I don't know if you can miss what you never had. And I don't think they've had steady contributions from either guy. Good depth pieces, but if they don't play, I'm not going to change my prediction. As far as who's indispensable, Montez Sweat's absence from the eight captains was significant to me. I thought it was something that stood out. When you have Kevin Byard, who's been here 5 minutes, who gets more votes if it's a team-wide vote than Montez Sweat, who led two teams in sacks last year and is clearly your best defensive player, it makes you wonder a little bit about things. Maybe it's no big deal. But Jalen Johnson, two secondary guys and two linebackers. I get the linebackers. T.J. Edwards is a tremendous leader. And Tremaine Edmonds seems like he's that kind of a guy as well. Montez Sweat, though, is the heart and soul of that defense. And he's not a captain. He still is the most indispensable player, though, yeah, on this team of those four. And then I think it's Tevin Jenkins. I think Tevin Jenkins, when healthy, is a difference maker at offensive guard in terms of giving them security, giving them a feeling of they can be a physical offensive line. Keenan Allen, not going to take anything away from him, but if he's not there, you still have two other very good options at wide receiver. And then Ryan Bates, I don't know what they have yet. I think that they really were missing him and valuing him because they're telling us that he's valuable because they've pursued him in the last several off seasons. But have we really seen him play? So he would be bottom of the list. I think Tevin Jenkins and Montez Sweat have to play, and they're very important to this team.
If you wanted to swap in a captain, Montez Sweat, who would you replace among the defensive players?
I think all of them are good linebackers or good leaders, the linebackers especially. This is a high-character locker room, but I just don't know, with due respect to Kevin Byard, we don't know yet how well he's going to play. We don't know yet what he has left in the tank, and we know that he has not played. His next game will be his first game, yeah, representing the Chicago Bears. Montez Sweat has been here half of a season, but it's a half a season longer than Kevin Byard, so probably him.
As a leader, I think you shy away from those questions.
That is the voice of Cubs President of Baseball Operations, Jed Hoyer. He's here at 9 with Mully and Haw. Which was harder to take for the Cubs, blowing a 3-0 lead in the 8th to the Pirates over at Wrigley Field, or the surprising news postgame where Justin Steele was scratched from tonight's start after last night's gut-wrenching loss?
Both are painful. Both are very painful. Justin Steele's not starting tonight? I thought it was Steele and Skeens, and that was going to match up with the Aces, and that was going to be marquee television on Marquee. And here on The Score. I don't know which is worse, but that was awful to watch Jorge Lopez blow that lead, even though it was the right move to go to him, even though they have scored a ton of runs, and you forgive the offense because, my goodness sakes, has that offense been so hot on the road trip. So hot that they scored 99 runs in the previous 10 games, 34 more than any other team since August 22nd. And then they scored 3 last night. I'll say the loss because of what it means to the standings in the calendar. You rip another page and you make another X on a day in Craig Timber, and there's only 27 days left. And come on, you can't lose these games against the Pirates. You got the Yankees and the Dodgers right around the corner. Justin Steele, according to people post-game reporting this and talking about this in a clubhouse, is only maybe a one-time thing, but they saw it last time he was out, according to Dustin, who picked that up. We'll hear that later. Both are terrible. One is worse, and that was the loss.
See, I'm going to disagree. It's Justin Steele by a landslide, because right now I feel like he's done. I feel like he's shut down. I feel like that's it for Justin Steele. That's how I feel at 6:17 in the morning. I don't feel good about it. I didn't like the loss, of course. And to your point, David, also, after the two games they have remaining with the Pirates, the next six are the Yankees and the Dodgers. Right. The best two teams, the teams that Fox and everybody is hoping play each other for the World Series. So that will not be easy. But without Justin Steele, Cubs season is over.
Yeah, I think you might be getting a step ahead there, Dustin, and I hope you're getting a step ahead. I don't argue that, though. I think if you lose Steele at this point, that would be a real blow. That would really, really impact your chances the rest of the way. So I can understand the concern. You're going to lose games. You're going to lose. We've seen them lose games in the eighth inning. It happens. It's not, it's, you know, the problem with this, they were creating this feeling of invincibility. They were creating this feeling that they were going to score 10 plus runs every time they went on the field. And with the 3-0 lead, you felt comfortable. They just need to get six more out. What? Wait a minute. What happened?
I know.
It was just, this has not been going that way. You know, they've been the team that has been having the beginning. So that was a little bit disconcerting, but I hope to God Justin Steele is okay. I really hope he's okay. And, you know, maybe we can ask Jed about that. If there was really bad news, I think, you know, we need to know it.
Different question on a different topic.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. He'll be with us at 8:44 with a trip around the NFL. Is White Sox pitcher Chris Flexen winless in his last 20 starts? 0-10 with 10 no decisions in that stretch. A victim or part of the problem? Should he remain in the starting rotation for the 31-108 White Sox, or does it simply not matter either way?
Oh, it definitely doesn't matter. But I would add Chris Flexen to the list of players that I never want to see again. That's not meant as an insult to him.
Oh, I can't see why he'd take it.
I mean, but I'm just saying, there are a lot of Sox players that are on my list of guys I just never want to
see
again.
Who's at the top?
I'm not going to sit here and pick nit with you, but probably some players that you wouldn't suspect would be high in the order.
Give an example.
Well, I mean, that's a different question. We're talking about Chris Flexen.
Who you never want to see again.
I never want to see him.
At all.
There's a lot of people that I never want to see again connected to the White Sox, but I would say Chris Flexen is just one of them. Not blaming him, not pointing out anything, but yeah, I've seen him pitch, and I've seen what happens when he pitches, and it's not his fault because this is the worst team ever assembled, but you know, there are probably some guys where you'd be like, really? And I'd say, oh, yeah. And then you'd say, well, that's wrong. And I'd say, I don't care if you like Andrew Vaughn. I just don't ever want to see him again. That's just kind of the way
Vaughn-y
I feel about the White Sox.
Wow.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying as an example.
He had the night off. He didn't do anything yesterday. Leave him alone.
Let him have the rest of the nights off.
Did you see that lineup yesterday?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Why is Luis Robert Jr. taking the day off?
I mean,
he rests between innings. He takes naps in the field. Sorry.
That lineup, that was – here's the thing.
Did you happen to see what Aloy said?
Yes, I saw that.
Okay.
Happy to be playing with a winner and a contender.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Good to have important games.
The stats are kind of startling, despite the fact the Sox picked up loss 108 yesterday afternoon. Mm-hmm. But 20 starts and 10 no decisions and 0 for 10, like, wow. Here's the real. If Chris Flexen is in the starting rotation for your White Sox next year, now you got a problem. Okay, now you got a problem.
No, they already have a problem.
There's no way he's part of the rotation next year, guys.
No one said he was.
He just said if he is, you got a real problem.
No, he can't be. You have to. This is somebody you have to blot from your memory. You have to erase from your recorded history.
You want
to
see
Chris the F word, Flexen? Okay, you can't have him part of things. It's not his fault.
No,
it's not all his fault.
Not all.
His first 10 starts were actually pretty respectable. But this guy now has this claim to infamy. It's not fame. This is infamy. I can't believe that he has been winless in 20 starts. But, you know, that is just the beginning of a list of numbers and statistical anomalies that make you like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this has all happened to the same team in the same season. This is as forgettable as it comes. That's why it's historic.
You know, maybe that's a very good question moving forward for a pick six. Is there any player you'd like to see again ever?
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
And that's why they haven't called up Colson Montgomery, because you still want to keep him.
How was he?
He was great.
Yeah?
Just great.
Big Indiana schoolboy legend.
I did make the connection.
Yeah, I did.
You know I did.
What was your biggest surprise about the first weekend of the college football season, and what are the images, the games, or the highlights that stand out the most to you?
Well, we talked about this in the opening. This is a fantastic opening weekend for college football. What I will remember most about it, or what struck me the most as significant, was Notre Dame looking the part. Notre Dame going on the road in a hostile environment, and I don't care about preseason rankings, but A&M was 20th, Notre Dame was 7th, and Notre Dame looked like a top five team. They backed it up. Domers always talk big in August. They backed it up. And Marcus Freeman definitely had a moment. And Riley Leonard wasn't great. The offensive line was. They pounded Texas A&M. They hit him in the mouth. And A&M really didn't handle it. So Notre Dame going into College Station and winning. The Big Ten only losing one game. USC beating LSU to the point where Brian Kelly has a little hissy fit after the game, pounding the fist.
What's that? It?
Not throwing his players under the bus, surprisingly. That's his bad habit. And then, you know, Northwestern on the lakefront. That stadium really intrigues me. It looks so cool. And they did what they needed to do. Good for Northwestern. Good for David Braun. He's a likable guy. And so I just love the return of college football. There were a lot of things happening nationally. There's a lot of fun stuff going on locally. NIU at Notre Dame Saturday is fun for those guys. But overall, Notre Dame delivering on its promise early, setting up a fun season ahead.
Well, my biggest surprises were unfortunate surprises. The opening weekend of college football, one week without the NFL involved with your football weekend after coming up now. The first game, 11 a.m. kick. Down in Atlanta, we've got Georgia-Clemson. That first half was awful. And the second half was only good if you were a Georgia fan. Then that goes into Florida-Miami. I didn't realize how good Miami was. Look out for Miami. They might be a team that you don't want to play. So that was, I thought, something. Like, they're back. The U is back. And if they're buying the players, well, guess what? That's legal now. Okay, so, and then to David's point, everything you said on the Irish was absolutely spot on, and I could not believe I woke up this morning and Florida State was 0-2.
I got to tell you, like, there was one of the takeaways for me is that Clemson and Florida State won out of the ACC. Maybe you ought to let them leave. They were awful. They've made life difficult for a friend of ours. Get lost. Be better. They were terrible.
Terrible.
It was great to see Clemson get stuffed, wasn't it? That
Poor
was
Dabo.
Fun. Yeah. Whatever.
Stuck in 2016.
Yeah, you can't get out of it. But that you know, the Big Ten jumps out is just great stuff from the Big Ten. I thought Ohio State, Penn State, there were some good Big Ten performances. Oregon not as good as I thought they were going to be, but it's very early. Alabama. You know, they did okay for themselves. Again, hard to tell. In the early goings, you know more about who's bad than who's good. How about Dylan Raiola making his debut for Nebraska and, you know, very celebrated quarterback. Looks pretty good for himself.
Looks pretty good.
Yeah, did well for himself. I think that Florida stands alone. You know, my sister-in-law teaches at Florida, and my brother is down there, and his kids went there, two of the three. Oh my gosh, that is a disaster. Florida, a train wreck. You just can't understand how much that hurts those people in Gainesville to see that team as bad as it is. And man, that's bad. That is not good, and it's not getting better.
You hire the wrong guy, and you're going to
he looks awful.
Feel that.
Yep.
He looks overwhelmed. That
totally
program looks like a different place.
Yep.
And yeah, there's an element of like, what did we get ourselves into?
Yeah, you're right. There's no doubt about that. All right, we've got the extra point. Next, it's Mully and Haw on Chicago Sports Radio 6-7.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
What did you make of the Bears general manager Ryan Poles telling the Sun-Times about retaining coach Matt Eberflus? Here's the quote. With the media, it's just weird how the record is held against Matt, but the progress is given to me. He's been in this, coaching his butt off, maximizing the talent we have. That's the big thing. Are we maximizing what we have? To me, it was, yes, end quote. Your reaction to that comment?
That was a really good story by Jason Leisure on Ryan Poles and his role in all of this. That comment was very interesting because it is does have an element of truth to it. We hold Matt Eberflus responsible for his record and tend to give a lot of credit to Ryan Poles, although he has received his fair share of criticism. He's just made some moves of late over the last year and a half that have been favorable for the Bears, set themselves up quite well, and also includes probably one of the biggest trades and best trades in Bears history. So that's why. What I think is also interesting about that story is that Ryan Poles used language like legacy and legendary if you win in Chicago. And that was what appealed to him about the job. He'd used the terms legacy and legendary. He sounded like one of us, okay? So the weird media that he described as attaching the L's to Flusi and the wins to him, he sounded like a media member putting his potential success in the context of being a legendary figure in Chicago. But he's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. If the player he drafted leads the Bears to a Super Bowl, just one, fellas, you don't need to talk about multiple championships, just one. He's a legend, and that's what's at stake here. That's the beginning of something special. That's why there's all the hype about Sunday, because the anticipation that this is not only the start of a season, but the beginning of an era.
Yeah, that quote really stood out to me. I thought it was really interesting, and Ryan Poles seems like the type of boss that you'd want to have, the type of partner you'd want to have. And speaking of Ryan Poles, see this weekend he was down in Atlanta for Clemson and Georgia, and then he was at Texas A&M Notre Dame. So he and Cunningham still wearing out Air Force McCaskey and wearing out, putting their carbon footprint out there, but catching a lot of college football and still working. And even with the, like the last weekend before like the real work starts, he was still out there grinding it out. You know, a lot of kudos to Ryan Poles.
Yeah, kudos to Ryan Poles because he's put together a good team that was talented. I don't think anybody was saying, wow, Ryan Pace is doing a great job. Isn't this amazing to see the team that he's putting together? I think that depending on how players play is how you react to it. As far as the coach catching a lot of grief while you're losing, hey, doesn't he put the coaching staff together? Didn't they have to get rid of two coaches in season? I mean, the media is not being weird if they notice that the guy's handpicked defensive coordinator, his buddy, is the guy that had to be let go or had to depart under mysterious circumstances. Come on now. That's not strange in any way. And I think that it's great that Matt Eberflus ended up kind of sealing his position with the team by coaching so well on defense last year. But the idea that he had to do that is a little bit suspicious. And that's why, one of the reasons why he was kind of looked at askew. I think that the general manager has done a really good job. And if he keeps improving the team, then that's just going to put more pressure on the coach to win. So, you know, the Bears have not won yet, but they look like they're poised to do so. And I think we're celebrating all of that. But, you know, it's weird. Be very careful about how much blame you want, because you'll get yours, believe me. If it doesn't work out, you'll be looked at in the same fashion. You haven't won yet. You got to get there first.
I think he was trying to defend his coach.
I think he definitely was. That's all he was doing.
And his decision maybe to stick with him. The other part of that quote or that part of that story was
not hiring the offensive coach.
Resisting the offensive-minded head coach, and he even acknowledged it would have been a more popular decision. I think he's assuming that it would have been a more popular decision depending on who you hired.
Well, I also think that it may have been the correct decision depending on who you have to fire. If you end up having to fire the coach in another year or two, then we're going to wonder why did you start the engine without having everybody together. It's still a legitimate question as to whether or not you have the long-term answer. I hope it works out, and I think that we think differently about Matt Eberflus than we did a year ago. But if they have a losing season somehow, and there's a lot of different ways that can happen, but if that were to happen, pressure is not going anywhere.
Yeah, so that's true for a lot of coaches.
Let's watch it unfold.
Yeah, it's true for a lot of coaches as we sit here before their first game. But there's ample reason and justifiable reason to believe that the Bears,
they look like they've turned a corner,
are in a position to take advantage of that, and they have turned a corner.
Yeah, but don't get too puffy chested about it yet.
Did you read it that way? Did you think it was puffy chested?
No, I didn't think so. I didn't think so, but I do think that if you look at what he said, like, well, I don't know why I don't. Why do I get all the credit? Like, it's almost, I don't know. You'll get the credit if you win. We're not there yet. I think there's a lot of excitement, but that can go either way. You know, expectation, if met, is wonderful. Expectation not met creates major issues. That's all I'm saying. I just want to get there. Let's see them win. Let's get to it. All right, 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
I mean, for me, I'm done buying into the hype, honestly. So, I mean, like I said before, plenty of times I've had some pretty good rosters, plenty talented, people in the locker room. Sometimes we're, this is our year. So, I mean, everything that we got in this locker room, it sounds good, it seems good. I mean, I've seen it. But at the end of the day, none of that matters. I mean, what matters is what we're going to do this weekend. And from every Sunday or Monday, whatever game it is, that's when it matters. So, I mean, the preseason hype for me don't move me either. I mean, Caleb, I mean, everybody, we all got to come in here. We got to work. I mean, just top to bottom, myself. I mean, new contract year. I mean, I don't mean that no more. Okay, we got to come in here. We got to go to work.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of Jalen Johnson. Truer words, Mr. David. That is one of the newly formed captains. And
it's respect. He's got respect in that locker room.
Yes.
And I think his ascension to above average cornerback, to pretty good cornerback, to elite cover corner, now he's one of the top four in the NFL. That says a lot about his progression. Also, now it says a lot about the respect he has that he's a captain.
You know, we asked the question earlier when you were saying that Montez Sweat was a guy that you were surprised wasn't a captain, and Dustin said the same thing, and I don't argue with that. I agree with that as well. If I were replacing captains, Kevin Byard, probably a good idea just because he's only been here for 5 minutes.
Not made his debut yet.
But I know this is a controversial thing to say, I might substitute Montez Sweat for Jalen Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I don't respect Jalen Johnson, don't love hearing from him, don't think he's really good at what he does, but because of the nature of the position, because of the way a cornerback is almost an entity unto itself and not a guy who is sort of captain of the secondary or a guy that is, I know.
Too individual oriented.
It's a very individual oriented position.
It's a fair distinction to make. I think of it this way as well. A lot of times in baseball clubhouses, seldom, or you're more reluctant to say that starting pitcher can be the leader in the clubhouse because he only goes once every 5 days. Likewise, a cornerback really is in some ways. To cornerbacks like Jalen Johnson, I think is what you're saying, football is an individual sport, like tennis or golf.
Not that he isn't a good teammate and a good team guy, but that is such a specialized position and such a difficult position mm-hmm. and such an individual position that I don't know that I wouldn't, if I was choosing someone. Now, I would hope, and I Jaquan Brisker was hurt the whole year. I would hope eventually he emerges as a captain.
One would hope so, but I do think that his lack of availability
that's the problem.
Is something that might have gotten in the way of – we're looking for really things that,
no.
to explain, but it's a small thing. But Jaquan Brisker has to be more available. I think Jalen Johnson has a niche that he's carved for himself in terms of – he's the cover corner. He's the best defensive player. I think if you look at who's the bluest blue player on the Bears. And you can make an argument for him. But I also think that this speaks to his longevity. He connects with players who have been here a while. He connects with new guys because of his status. And he is also pretty easy to find when things are not so great and you need somebody to say something.
No, I'm just talking about the nature of the position. Mm-hmm. If I were looking to, make a change along those lines. Because I think, here's what I don't understand. Like Montez Sweat, I was reading that he's actually helping some of the offensive linemen. This is what, we're trying to do as defensive ends. And this is what a pass rusher's thought process is. And here's what you've got to be. Like, I like that idea. That he's coaching up not just his line mates, but the opposite line.
Leadership stuff.
That's leadership
he's
stuff.
He's a natural leader. I'm reluctant to do this because it's comparing somebody to a Hall of Famer.
Right.
But Montez Sweat reminds me in the way that he mingles with teammates or handles himself on the field, off the field, of Julius Peppers.
Right. Seems like a classy individual.
That presence that other players maybe just gravitate toward, and he's an easy guy to follow, and he's an easy guy to like because he always is going to be in the middle of everything.
He's like a relentless player. When he gets going, he's going. He's going and he's going. And that I would think would be something that, it would be a leadership quality that you could follow the example of. And I don't know that Pep was ever a captain, to be honest with you.
I don't know if he was or not, but you don't remember that as part of his legacy or not legacy. And it wasn't something that was used against him.
Right.
But he was just an easy guy to support.
I think he was always hugely respected because he was just an extraordinary
athlete. Let's face it. When we talk about the previous question and segment about Ryan Poles and the way he's put this team together, he's put this team together in a way that has values character. Football character.
No doubt about it.
And off the field character. And when you do that, you're going to have several people who are left out when you're naming captains. And that's a great problem to have, and one that we haven't always been able to sit here on September 3rd and have this debate like, oh, who did they overlook? Well, it's been more obvious than this year in the past years about who doesn't deserve it.
And I don't know who they overlooked on offense, but I'll tell you who I would replace if there was an overlooked person, it would be without question Mercedes Lewis.
Yeah.
And that is because, good as he may be, veteran as he may be, you got two tight ends, and I get it. He's basically a blocking tight end, but I wish they had a member of the offensive line.
That's glaring in terms
of
an omission.
Who was the leader of the offensive line. And I don't know who that would be, frankly, because, you know, Tevin Jenkins has the disposition to be that guy, but I don't know that he's played enough.
He's not earned enough respect in terms of his availability.
And I
think Braxton Jones has the kind of...
He's been here long enough.
The kind of, yeah.
But I don't know if he's good enough.
The kind of dependability in terms of just being there. I don't know if he's good enough either, but he does, again, reaching in the past for a comparison in recent Bears memory, Charles Leno Jr. was a very respected member of that offensive line. And likewise, Braxton Jones has been drafted low, has a lot of playing time as a young player so far. And if you're looking for a leader, maybe it would be him. But you also would like to ideally see Darnell Wright evolve into that kind of player.
Maybe he will someday.
Maybe he will.
But like Charles Leno Jr., I think that by virtue of his draft status, by virtue of the fact that you have Mercedes Lewis on the team in part to protect him, I think that he is the kind of guy you're always looking to replace.
Yeah, he is. So you want to be careful there.
So
Darnell Wright is the guy who's going to be here for a while. When you look at how the Bears have built this team, how Ryan Poles has built this team, he's got his quarterback, he's got his wide receiver, he's got his right tackle. Those two guys were drafted in the top 10, Darnell Wright and Roma Dunze, to be paired with or to be grouped with Caleb Williams, and that's how you build championship offenses.
But I wish there was an offensive lineman who was a captain.
I think every team wishes that. Every team wants that.
Yes.
Every team wants that guy to be their center, ideally.
Yeah, and I don't know that they have that here.
Nope.
312-644-6767. We will ask these questions of our guy Brad Biggs. Biggs time next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.